Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Rivers Church.
Well, as we begin today, I recently read a fascinating article that was in the Smithsonian magazine in the March 2015 edition, and it told the story of a Judean date palm tree that was grown from a seed that was 2,000 years old. Now, of course, no one was sure whether the seed would actually grow into anything, as it was presumed to be dead. In fact, this seed was even given the nickname Methuselah, named after the oldest person mentioned in the Bible in Genesis 5:27. And the seed had been found in the remains of Masada in southern Israel. But once the seed was planted and watered, well, it soon began to sprout and eventually started to thrive. It also went on to produce Judean dates, which allowed researchers to better understand exactly what earlier people of the region were eating and how this fruit had tasted. You know, I think after the year that we've had, perhaps many are feeling like that old date palm seed, dry and unfruitful and kind of like there's no life left in you. Perhaps your business has become dormant, maybe your health has taken a turn for the worse. You know, as we mentioned earlier during the prayer time, we've seen many people become infected with the coronavirus, with some even in our churches tragically losing their lives. Maybe you've lost a loved one over the last while and you're feeling disheartened and discouraged by how things have turned out. I know for many, finances and work have been a huge concern, and maybe your bank account is dry and shriveled like that old seed. But friend, the good news is that God is in the business of reviving dry things. Maybe you feel like your best days are over, but God can turn things that seem unproductive and fruitless into something that bears much fruit and brings Him much glory. I want to read to you in a moment a great passage of scripture from the book of Ezekiel that speaks of God reviving that which has become dormant and dead. And I've titled today's message, Reviving the Dry Bones. Reviving the Dry Bones. Let's read together from Ezekiel 37 from verse 1 to 10. Ezekiel writes and he says, "The Lord took hold of me, and I was carried away by the Spirit of the Lord to a valley filled with bones." Notice it's not just one bone here, but many. In fact, an entire valley full of dry bones. Verse 2, "He led me all around among the bones that covered the valley floor. They were scattered everywhere across the ground and were completely dried out. Then he asked me, 'Son of man, can these bones become living people again?' 'Oh, sovereign Lord,' I replied, 'you alone know the answer to that.' Then he said to me, 'Speak a prophetic message to these bones and say, dry bones, listen to the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Look, I'm going to put breath into you and make you live again. Verse 6, I will put flesh and muscles on you and cover you with skin. I will put breath into you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I'm the Lord.' So I spoke this message just as he told me. And suddenly as I spoke, there was a rattling noise all across the valley. The bones of each body came together and attached themselves as complete skeletons. Verse 8, then as I watched, muscles and flesh formed over the bones, then skin formed to cover their bodies, but still they had no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Speak a prophetic message to the wind, son of man. Speak a prophetic message and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, O breath from the four winds, breathe into these dead bodies so they may live again.' And verse 10 says, 'So I spoke the message as he commanded me, and breath came into their bodies. They all came to life and stood up on their feet, a great army.'" What a great passage of scripture. Here we see that Ezekiel was given a vision by God of a future time, a time when God would restore the fortunes of his people and bring life back to them. Remember that at the time of this vision, they were still in exile in Babylon. They were oppressed. They were harassed. They'd lost all that they once had, and they were essentially slaves in a foreign land. They'd also lost their freedom, and well, there seemed to be no hope for the future. The Bible also tells us in another place that they would be in exile for 70 years. Listen, that's a serious lockdown if ever there was one. But God, in His grace, gives hope to His people through the vision to Ezekiel, and He reminds them that nothing is too hard for Him to change and restore and heal. And I believe today God wants to bring hope and healing and restoration and comfort to the people of Rivers Church who have experienced loss and pain and unfruitfulness this past year. But He also wants to revive us so that you and I can embrace all the good that the Lord has for us in 2021. A couple of observations from this passage of Scripture. Firstly, is that the bones were long dead. You know, the Bible says that this valley was filled with dry bones, not corpses, which would imply the death had only recently taken place. You know, it doesn't even say that some of the bones still had flesh on them. These bones, well, they were completely dry. In other words, they represented lives that were long dead. The bones represented people who were once alive, people who once had hopes and dreams for the future, people who were once productive and fruitful, people who had purpose to their lives, but who no longer had any life left in them anymore. And the Bible also says that the valley was covered with dry bones. You know, I think this is maybe also a spiritual picture of how the world and our country looks at the moment. Many lives have been lost. People have lost jobs and businesses. The economies of many nations around the world have been severely shaken. There's plenty of political instability around again. Truth and the Word are constantly under attack. But even in the midst of a chaotic and COVID-filled world, well, God can still revive the dry and dead bones, irrespective of how long things have been the way that they are. Then another observation from the passage is this. The bones were disgraced. Not only were they long dead, but the bones were disgraced. You know, normally when someone dies, they are buried in a grave or a tomb. Nowadays, people are also cremated. But the Bible says that these bones were scattered across the valley. In other words, they were never given a proper burial, but had rather been disgraced. But then we read in verse 3 that Ezekiel writes and he says, "Then he, being God, asked me, 'Son of man, can these bones become living people again?'" Now I can imagine that Ezekiel probably gave a bit of an inner sigh when God asked him that, probably muttering to himself and thinking, "Eish, Lord, why are you asking me this?" And Ezekiel really does his best to dodge the question because, well, if he responds by saying no, which would be the obvious answer, it would show God that he had a lack of faith. If Ezekiel says yes, well, then the obvious follow-up would be, "But how, Lord? Because this is a physically impossible situation. Dry, dead, disgraced bones, well, they do not simply just come back to life." So what does Ezekiel do? Well, he plays it safe and he responds to God by saying, "Lord, you alone know the answer to that." Friend, never ever forget that what is impossible in the natural and what may seem completely unlikely or improbable to us is always possible with God. In fact, the Bible reminds us over and over again that nothing is impossible for the Lord and that He can turn around the most unlikely situation so that He will be glorified. Let's have a look at a few thoughts from this passage today. Firstly, we see this. Revival begins with exposure to the Word. Revival always begins with exposure to the Word. Verse 4 says that, "Then he said to me, 'Speak a prophetic message to these bones and say, dry bones, listen to the word of the Lord.'" Never forget that it's the word of God that brings revival to dead bones. You know, it's not the promises of politicians or the policies of governments around the world, no matter how good they might be. It's not the reports of the media. It's not the hope of a new job or a new car or a new house or even another pay increase. It's also not even the hope of a new relationship that will bring revival to dry bones. I know some of you might be thinking, "Ooh, if I could just meet the man or the woman of my dreams this year, man, then I know it's going to be a good year. No, revival is not even dependent on the COVID vaccine, although we are very much anticipating that. But revival starts with the Word of God, with the promises of God for His people in Scripture. It's the Word that brings life and hope and healing and builds our faith and lifts our spirits. It's the Word that begins to revive those dead bones and begins the process of turning them into a living army. The great Charles Spurgeon once said that if we want revivals, we must revive our reverence for the Word of God. If we want conversions, we must put more of God's Word into our sermons. Even if we paraphrase it in our own words, it must still be His Word upon which we place our reliance, for the only power which will bless men lies in that. The reality is that there is no revival without the Word. Friend, we need to get hungry for God's Word this year. We need to feed on it daily. We need to make time to prioritize it. Because without God's Word, well, we will not experience His reviving presence and power in our lives. Then secondly, we see that obedience to the Word is the catalyst for revival. Obedience to the Word is the catalyst for revival. You know, revival never comes just by reading the Word or through just listening to a few good sermons. In fact, you can sit under great ministry week after week and have nothing change in your life. No, it's the obedience and outworking of the Word that is the catalyst for revival. In verse 7, Ezekiel writes and he says, "So I spoke this message just as he told me. And then suddenly, as I spoke, there was a rattling noise all across the valley." You know, I think it must have seemed quite strange to Ezekiel to speak to those dry bones. You know, he probably had a good look around him to make sure that no one was watching or listening, because listen, people would have thought he'd lost his marbles and gone crazy. But I love how the Bible records this, that as he obeyed what God had asked him to do, that there was suddenly a rattling. In other words, things began to happen and things began to change when he obeyed. You know, I think if we're honest, most of us like to wait for things to happen or start changing first before we decide to obey. But I don't know if you know, God doesn't work like that. Once we start to obey, then suddenly the rattling of revival begins to happen. You know, it's good to also note that Ezekiel didn't put his own spin or interpretation on what God had asked of him. He didn't write a poem about the bones or sing a song to the bones. Ezekiel did exactly what God asked of him. The Bible says that he spoke to the bones. You know, very often I think if we're honest, we tend to interpret Scripture according to what we'd like it to say. So when the Bible says, don't sleep together before marriage, well, we interpret it to say that if we love each other and if we're probably going to get married anyway, well, then it must be okay. Or when God says we are to bring the whole tithe to Him, we justify not doing it by arguing that, well, you know, times are tough and I'm sure God would understand. Or when the Word instructs us to forgive those who've hurt us, we can interpret it as, forgive only if you feel like forgiving and only if they're really, really sorry for what they did to you. But without obedience to what God asks of us through His Word, there can be no revival of the dry bones. The great A.W. Tozer once said, "To desire revival and at the same time to neglect personal prayer and devotion is to wish one way and walk another." I think that's unfortunately how many people's lives look. They're wishing for things to happen and to change for the better, but their lives are always going in a different direction because there is no dependency on the Word and there is no desire to obey what it says. Can you say amen to that? Then number three, we see this is that when God revives, He puts things together in the right way. You know, God always works by divine process. He never just strings our lives together in the hope that they might by chance work out. You see, I think when things are messed up or broken or seemingly dead in our lives, we want God to fix it now. Lord, send revival now. Bring healing now. Fix my business now. Restore my finances now. Find me a husband or a wife now, Lord. But God didn't begin the revival of these dry bones by breathing life into them. Because if He did, well, they would have been nothing more than bones that were breathing. And of course, that would have been no use to anyone. No, no. God goes through the process of restoration to bring about the revival of these dry bones. And so we see in this passage that God firstly adds flesh to the bones. Flesh represents opportunity. The opportunity to live and breathe and walk again. You know, this year God will bring opportunity into your life and my life for growth, for blessing, for our faith to be made strong, for us to love people and serve others, for us to increase our resources and finances. But I tell you what, God will not give 2021 to us on a silver platter. He's not going to do that. But He will give opportunity to us that should we embrace it, will add flesh to the dry bones. But then secondly, we see that God adds muscles to the flesh. Muscles, as you know, well, they represent strength. And as we draw close to God, as we lean in this year and get into the Word, as we desire His will for our lives and become more desperate for His presence, and as we seek to obey Him, the Lord adds muscle to our faith, and He gives us the strength to keep trusting Him and to keep persevering so that He can bring about revival. You know, today, if your marriage perhaps is like a bag of dry bones, in other words, there's no intimacy, there's no love, there's no respect for one another, well, God's not going to just snap His fingers quickly and fix everything up. No, no, but He will give you opportunities to reconcile and make amends. And if you respond to that, well, He will then give you the strength to keep pressing on and to keep working at building into your marriage. Then thirdly, we see here that God adds skin to the muscle. Skin always represents protection. The protection of God over that which He has given to us and blessed us with. Church, as we step out in faith this year and as we refuse to allow the disappointments and failures and the losses of the past year to define us, well, we can believe for God's protection over our families, over our children, over our homes, over our finances, and over our health. You know, we can believe God for protection over everything which He has provided us with opportunity for and for the things that He gives us the strength to accomplish. And then lastly, we see here that God adds His breath, the breath of life, to that which He has restored to make the revival complete. God's breath, of course, represents His supernatural touch. You know, if you and I try to do 2021 in our own strength, without the breath of God, well, without His supernatural touch, I tell you what, it's going to be a very difficult and a very frustrating year. But if we allow Him to breathe life into our dry bones, if we give the Lord permission to speak His truth over our lives, if we choose to fully submit ourselves to the authority of His Word, and if we let Him have His way in our lives so that He can do in and through us what He's purposed to do, well, then those things in our life that are currently like a valley filled with dry bones will soon begin to live and move and breathe and function again according to God's original design and purpose. Friend, never forget, nothing is impossible for the Lord. He brings opportunity. He gives strength when we need it. He provides protection for what He's called us to, and He will breathe new life to cause that which is dead to come back to life again. I hope you can say amen to that today. Then fourthly, we see that God gives authority to speak life over death. You know, it's very clear from this passage of Scripture that God did an amazing miracle, but it's also important that we note that he still gave Ezekiel a role to play. You know, in fact, almost always in the Bible, when we read of a miracle that takes place, God gives someone, either a man or a woman or a child, a part to play in his supernatural work. And in verse 9 and 10, Ezekiel says this. He says, "Then he, the Lord, said to me, 'Speak a prophetic message to the wind, son of man, and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, O breath from the four winds, breathe into these dead bodies so they may live again.' So I spoke the message as he commanded me, and breath came into their bodies." The Bible tells us, as we've seen, that God put the framework together for this great revival. I mean, he was the one who put all the bones in their right places. God then added the flesh, the muscle, and the skin. But then we see something very, very interesting. God gives Ezekiel the authority to speak life into these lifeless bodies. You see, I think God always gives us the choice to speak life or to speak death over ourselves and others. He gives us the choice to speak life over our country. And unfortunately, many constantly speak death over the future of our nation. We can choose to speak life or death over our workplace, over our businesses, over our marriages, over our children, and even over our health. You know, so many people are convinced that they will get COVID. And while many thousands certainly have been infected, and many have even died as a result, we must still continue to speak life over ourselves and our families. We, of course, must also exercise wisdom by doing all that is within our means to do, like wearing our masks, like sanitizing, like keeping physical distancing. But make sure you speak life over your situation and believe for God's divine protection and his divine healing. You know, I think it's too easy to speak death over ourselves and others, but God gave Ezekiel the option to speak life. And because he did, God brought revival to that which was dead and unproductive. Friend, never forget there's great power in our confession, especially when that confession is based upon what God has already said in his word. And then number 5, we see this. God brings revival to raise an army that will glorify him. God brings revival to raise an army that will glorify him. You know, it's very important to understand that God didn't just revive those dry bones to show off. He wasn't trying to impress Ezekiel. You know, the Lord wasn't like, "Hey, Ezekiel, check this cool trick out that I've been working on. Pretty awesome, eh?" No. There is always great purpose behind what God does. And when he brings revival to dry bones, it's because he has something greater in mind. Verse 10 says that breath came into their bodies. They all came to life and stood up on their feet, a great army. Now, don't miss this today. This is very important. Revival came to that valley of dry and disgraced bones because God wanted to raise up an army that would represent him and would fight for his cause. In fact, he revived those dry bones so that they could serve him and so that they would worship him, so that he would be glorified through what they would accomplish, and ultimately, so that they would advance his agenda and his kingdom. There's a great quote by David Guzik, who's a well-known Bible commentator, and he says of this that the bones were not revived to become a group of spectators or to live for their own comfort. They became an army and an exceedingly great one. They lived to act under the orders of the one who gave them life. You see, God brings revival to dry bones because he wants to raise up a great army. He's not just looking for a group of spectators or bystanders, you know, people who watch online occasionally or who will attend church from time to time when we're able to be back in the building. No, he doesn't just revive our fortunes so that we can only serve when it's convenient or when it suits our agenda or fits in with our lifestyle. But God brings revival to the dry areas of our lives so that we can be transformed into a supernatural army of worshipers, of volunteers, and of faithful givers. God has called us into His great army because He has called us to a great and important work. Friend, He never just saved us so that we could be spectators. He's raised us up from death to life so that we can accomplish His will on earth, starting within the local church and then extending our influence and impact into our places of work and business. God is looking for selfless, activated men and women of faith who will commit themselves to the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I think in many ways there's a bit of a sifting taking place in the church worldwide. I think this COVID pandemic has caused a bit of a separation in the church. It's separating those who are all in from those who are only occasionally in. It's separating those who have kept moving forward by faith from those who have retreated in fear and have now stopped worshiping, they've stopped giving, and those who will no longer be serving when they get back into the building one day. You know, I think we all know people who've fallen away during this COVID season, those who've backslidden and are really living as if they've never known Jesus. But there are also many others outside the church who have never known Jesus as Lord, but who are desperately looking for truth and answers and purpose and meaning and hope for the future. And the church is God's answer to a dry and dead and disgraced world. But the Lord needs a vast and great army of mobilized believers to be part of bringing His will to our cities and our communities. The great revivalist preacher Andrew Murray once said that a revived church is the only hope for a dying world. You know, it's so important that you and I remember that our lives were once like those dry bones. You and I were dead in our sins, disgraced and separated from God. In fact, the greatest revival of all is that God raised us to life despite the fact that we were dead to sin. You know, when Jesus defeated sin and death at the cross, God mended a broken world together and He breathed the breath of resurrection life back into our bodies because Jesus Himself was raised back to life. In Ephesians 2 verse 4, Paul writes and he says, "But God is so rich in mercy and He loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, He gave us life when He raised Christ from the dead. God saved you by His grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God." You know, the truth is that none of us are so amazing that we are capable of a self-resurrection. I mean, none of us can say how we picked ourselves up from the valley of dry bones and we put ourselves back together. We can't claim to have, you know, given ourselves a good pep talk or say that it's because we read a good motivational book that we got our lives back together. No. There's also no self-help conference that can revive that which was dry and disgraced in our lives. The Bible tells us the truth that we were dead. And then Christ knit us together and breathed new life into us so that we would be revived in order to be part of God's great army that brings change to this world. The great Baptist preacher J. Edwin Orr, in his book, The Church Must Repent, says the important thing to remember is repentance is the prelude to revival. Friend, God is not only able but also willing to bring spiritual revival to your life today. If you've never repented of your sin and surrendered your life to the Lord, then the sobering reality is that you are spiritually no better off than the dry and disgraced bones in that valley. Sin always separates us from God. And unless we repent of our sins before the Lord, we will die in our sin and remain separated from God for all eternity. But if we're willing to humble ourselves and acknowledge that we're sinners who desperately need a Savior, and if we repent of our wicked ways, then Jesus offers forgiveness for our sins so that we can be spiritually revived and made whole through His grace and mercy. I'd love to lead you in a prayer of salvation in a moment if you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, or if perhaps you've fallen away from God or backslidden. God can revive your spirit today if you turn to Him with a sincere and repentant heart. If that's you, would you pray with me? Father God, I come before you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, that you died on a cross for me so that I can be forgiven of all my sins. Thank you that your blood was shed so that I can be made right with you. Today I confess my sins. I repent before you, Lord. I acknowledge my desperate need of a Savior. I invite you into my heart, Jesus. Make me whole. Revive my spirit so that I can live for your purposes and you may be glorified through my life. I surrender to you in full. In Jesus' name I pray. And all those who prayed that said, Amen.
We hope you have been blessed and inspired by this message.